Over the years, there have been calls and demands even to replace the Star Spangled Banner as our national anthem. Those demands have ranged from those saying that the song glorifies war to those who say it's, believe it or not, too challenging to sing. That's their actual reason. Anyway, recently a new complaint has been added about the Star Spangled Banner. It's racist. Joining us now to share who has voiced this objection and their reasons behind it is the co-founder of MoveOnUp.org, a member of the National Advisory Council of Project 21, and a managing partner of Capital Consulting Group, LLC, Chris Arps. How are you today, Chris?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And Chris, of course, has a few websites, which we've linked over to our page, but just for the here and now, nationalcenter.org/project-21, as well as move-on-up.org. And like I said, we have those links over to our website. So no need to remember. I just want to keep you informed as we go along here. So apparently the California NAACP sees racism in the Star Spangled Banner. Explain this one to me.
Well, I don't know if I can necessarily explain any thinking on the left, but I can tell you that it seems that the NAACP, California NAACP, didn't seem to get the message. The message that we've been getting from the protesters is that this was about racial injustice and police brutality and had nothing to do with the flag or the military. And then the NAACP counters that argument by calling for the ban of the national anthem. They have indelibly linked these two issues together just by this nonsensical proposal.
And by the way, the California NAACP is also urging the California legislature to ask the NFL team to let Colin Kaepernick play again. So I guess the California NAACP also moonlights as NFL scouts?
I guess so. Maybe Colin Kaepernick, GQ's new citizen of the year, has agreed to give them a percentage of any future NFL contract he gets.
Now, just to add to this insanity, their point of contention with the national anthem is the third stanza, which is never typically even in sung, but I'm not going to sing it for you, Randall, so I'll get nervous, but here's how it reads. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood was washed out by their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave and the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, to me, I take that as a proclamation that there's a need to battle or fight for freedom and liberty for all. And that's how I read that stanza.
That's how I read it as well. And you know, a lot of, I think there's a stanza that talks about, you know, the slaves. And, you know, I'm not a history buff, but it's my understanding that, you know, during the War of 1812, the British were offering freedom to slaves if they fought on their side. And it's apparent there that the illusion or illustration of that in there, and that's supposed to be all controversial. You know, most people don't even know there's a third stanza. I didn't know there was a third stanza. I could tell you exactly what it means. What it does mean to me since I was a little boy is that when I hear the national anthem played, I get goosebumps. When I see the national anthem played at ball games or at the Olympics, and I see our athletes running around with a giant American flag while that flag is played, I know I get a tremendous sense of honor and pride of knowing that, you know, many have surged for the freedoms that we enjoy today, including members of my own family.
Yeah, surprisingly to many people, there's actually four stanzas for the Star Spangled Banner, of which only the first is what is commonly sung. And I guess what they're forgetting, too, is the context, the point in time where Francis Scott Key wrote it and what was inspiring him to write it. He wasn't looking at a plantation in South Carolina. He was looking at a flag that, nevertheless, over a heavy-duty battle, after it was all over and done, that flag was still flying.
And that's what seems to be missing in a lot of these arguments, is the context and the times. You know, we had a Confederate statue that was here in town in our Forest Park, our major city park, and it caused a lot of controversy, and people wanted it taken down, and it was. But, you know, in this day and age, people were saying that these were monuments to slavery or to Confederate owners, but people forget that the context was these monuments were put up less than 50 years after the Civil War, and there was still a lot of division between Northern and Southern sympathies. And so these statues, these memorials to the dead, were ways of trying to placate them and trying to bring the country together. that was the original purpose of it, not to show some triumph of white supremacy. But unfortunately, through 100 years and through time, that context has been lost, and we're debating it within today's time.
And if you want to rely on factual history, then maybe California NAACP wants to have a sit-down discussion about how Democrats and liberals were the primary force at the foundation of the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, I doubt that they want to talk about that. And I tell you what their response would be to that was, you know, all of those people that were Southern Democrats at that time have now switched over to the Republican Party, and that's where they've gone. And, you know, what have you done for me lately? And the Democrats have been the party that's been for black people over the last 50 years instead of Republicans. That would be their argument, not necessarily that I agree with it.
Dr. Chris Arps, who is the co-founder of MoveOnUp.org. He's also a member of the National Advisory Council of Project 21, managing partner of Capital Consulting Group, LLC, nationalcenter.org/project-21, and move-on-up.org, two corresponding websites. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You know, even if you have a complaint or a grief or a belief of a wrong, what does removal of a symbol do to change anything?
Well, you know, liberal ideology, the liberal mindset is based on feelings. And doing something like that makes them feel good. It makes them feel like they've accomplished something. You know, those of us on the right side of the political meter knows that, you know, that won't really accomplish anything in the long run. And I think it also, if you think this is a nefarious plot, is I think it also, among some leftist people, they want to tear down symbols of America. And what's one of the major symbols of America is the national anthem. So it's just one step forward of taking America down through its symbols.
When you think of Colin Kaepernick and everything he's launched in, and that message has become so watered down, I mean, there are actually people who think that the kneeling on the NFL sideline is a middle finger to Donald Trump. That's the message they see it as delivered. That's, how convoluted the message has become. But these are individuals, NFL players, they have a lot of money. They earn a lot of money. I've seen a few, but I haven't seen many of these who are doing the sideline protests start foundations to create organizations that make job opportunities in the communities, for example, or help people in poverty get back up on their feet. Instead, you know, they're having this major trauma over taking a knee. That's the biggest trauma they've had in their lives, apparently, by what they say.
Well, I can't speak. You know, there are high-profile athletes that, you know, start foundations.
Well, yeah, Magic Johnson, for example. He's a stellar lead, for example.
Right.
Follow his lead.
And there may be other lesser-known athletes that, you know, start foundations, coat drive, things of that nature. What I see mainly with these NFL protests, and, you know, some of these, a lot of these athletes are African-American, and they grew up in single households and in inner cities, so they may have a different perspective on the police than a lot of us. But what I see more than anything is kind of a herd mentality. People like to be a part of the end thing, of something that's popular, something that's growing. And we see with these NFL protests, with the players coming on one knee, I think they just want to be a part of the hoopla, be a part of, hey, I'm down for the struggle kind of mentality. I think that's a big part.
Really, it's really the equivalent of clicking that you like something that you see posted on Facebook and think that you've just made a monumental contribution to whatever that cause happens to be.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully what the California NAACP does and has said in its ridiculous level in the conversation will maybe inspire some people to say, you know, that's pretty useless, but here's a better idea. And no, it's not to say there aren't wrongs and there isn't racism in America. No one is saying that. But to indict the entirety over the idiot actions of a few is not the right idea either. So, if nothing else, a conversation has started up, and hopefully the sensible voices will reign supreme in that conversation. He is the co-founder of MoveOnUp.org. He's also a member of the National Advisory Council Project 21 and managing partner with Capital Consulting Group, LLC. Chris Arps, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.